Cassette 6, Side 2.
Chapter 42. Toshio.
No, Dr. Dark. The instatite inclusions are one part I'm not sure of. The static from the robot was really strong when I took that reading. If you'd like, I can double-check it right now.
Toshio's eyelids were heavy with ennui. He had lost track of time spent pushing buttons and reading data at Charles Dart's behest. The chimp planetologist would not be satisfied. No matter how well and quickly Toshio responded, it was never quite enough.
No, we haven't got time,
Charlie answered gruffly from the holoscreen at the edge of the drill tree pool.
See if you can work it out on your own after I sign off, okay? It would make a nice project for you to pursue on the side, you know, Toshio. Some of these rocks are totally unique. If you did a thorough study of the mineralogy of this shaft, I'd be happy to help you write it up. Imagine the feather in your cap. A major publication couldn't hurt your career, you know.
Toshio could well imagine. He was indeed learning a lot working for Dr. Dart. One thing which would serve him well if he ever did go on to graduate school was to be very careful in choosing his research advisor. The question was moot, with aliens overhead getting ready to capture them. Toshio shied away from thinking about the battle in space. It only made him depressed.
Thanks, Dr. Dart, but...
No problem,
Charlie barked in gruff condescension.
We'll discuss the details of your project later, though, if you don't mind. Right now, let's have an update on where the drone is.
Toshio shook his head, amazed by the fellow's tenacious single-mindedness. If it got any worse, he would lose his temper with the chimp, senior research associate or no. Toshio checked his gauges.
The bots descended a little over a kilometer, Dr. Dart. The shaft is narrower and smoother as we get down to more recent digging, so I'm anchoring the robot to the wall at each site.
Toshio looked over his shoulder to the northeast, wishing Denny or Jillian would show up as a distraction. But Denny was with her Kiqui, and he had last seen Jillian seated in lotus position, overlooking the ocean, oblivious to the world. Jillian had been pretty upset earlier, when Takata Jim told her everyone at the ship was too busy getting Streaker ready for the move to talk to her. Even her questions about Tom Orley were brushed aside with abrupt politeness. They'd call her when they knew anything, Takata Jim had said before signing off. Toshio had seen a frown settle over her face as every call she made was deflected. A new comm officer had replaced Aki. The Finn told Jillian every person she wanted was unavailable. The one crew member she was able to talk to was Charles Dart, apparently because his skills weren't urgently needed at the moment, and the chimp refused to talk about anything but his work. Immediately, she had begun getting ready to leave. Then came orders from the ship, directly from Takata Jim. He was to stay indefinitely and help Denny Sudman prepare a report on the Kiqui. This time, Jillian took the news impassively. Without comment, he had gone into the jungle to be alone.
More of those tendrils of Denny's.
Charles Dart had been talking as Toshio's mind drifted.
The most exciting thing is the potassium and iodine isotope profiles. They prove my hypothesis that within recent geological time, some sophant race has been burying garbage in this subduction zone of the planet. This is colossally important, Toshio. There's evidence in these rocks of multiple generations of dumping of material from above and rapid recycling of stuff brought up by nearby volcanoes. It's almost as if there's been a rhythm to it, an ebb and flow. Something awfully suspicious has been going on here for a long time. Kithrop's supposed to have been fallow since the ancient Kerank lived here. Yet somebody's been hiding highly refined stuff in this planet's crust up until very recently.
Toshio almost committed a rudeness. Very recently, indeed. Dart was sleuthing in geological time. Any day now, the ETs would be down on them, and he was treating the alleged burying of industrial garbage thousands of years ago as if it was the latest Scotland Yard mystery.
Yes, sir, I'll get on it right away.
Toshio wasn't even sure what Dart had just asked him to do, but he covered his ass.
And don't worry, sir, the robot will be monitored day and night. Hifuru and Sao have orders from Takata Jim to stay plugged into it at turns when I'm unavailable. They'll call me if there's any change in its condition.
Wouldn't that satisfy the chimp? The Fen hadn't taken well at all to that order from Streaker's exec, but they would obey, even if it slowed Saud's work with the Kikui. Miracle of miracles, Charlie seemed to agree.
Yeah, that's nice of them,
he muttered.
Be sure to thank them for me. And say, maybe while Kipiru is plugged in, can he trace that intermittent static we keep getting from the robot? I don't like it, and it's getting worse.
Yes, sir, I'll ask him.
The chimpanzee rubbed his right eye with the back of a furry hand and yawned.
Listen, Toshio, he said, I'm sorry, but I really need a break. Would you mind if we put off finishing this until just a little bit later? I'll ring you back after supper and answer all your questions then, Okay, bye then, for now.
Charlie reached forward and the holo image disappeared. Toshio stared at the empty space for a moment, slightly stunned.
Mind? Will I mind? Why, no, sir, I don't believe I'd mind at all. I'll just wait here patiently until either you call back, or the sky falls down on my head.
He snorted. Would I mind?
Toshio
stood up, his joints crackling from sitting cross-legged too long. I thought I was too young for that. Ah, well, a midshipman is supposed to experience everything. He looked toward the forest. Denny was hard at work with the Kikui. Did I bother Jillian, I wonder? He's probably worried about Tom. We were supposed to have heard from him early yesterday. But maybe she wants company. Lately he had started having fantasies about Jillian. It was only natural, of course. She was a beautiful older woman, at least 30, and by most standards quite a bit more alluring than Denny Sudman. Not that Denny wasn't attractive in her own way, but Toshio didn't want to think about Denny much anymore. Her implicit rejection, by effectively overlooking him when the two of them were alone, and so much alike, was painful. Toshio suspected she sensed his attraction to her, and was overreacting by turning cold to him. He told himself that was an immature response on her part, but that didn't keep it from hurting. Fantasizing about Jillian was another matter. He'd had shameful but very compelling daydreams about being there when she needed a man, helping her overcome her loss. He probably knew how he felt, but didn't let it change her behavior toward him at all. It was a comforting forgiveness, and it made her a safe object of semi-secret adoration. It could simply be that I'm very confused, of course, Toshio thought. I'm trying to be analytical in an area where I have no experience, and my own feelings keep getting in the way. I wish I wasn't just an awkward kid and were more like Mr. Orley. An uneven electric tone behind him interrupted his fantasy, the calm coming back to life.
Oh, no, Toshio groaned. Not already.
The unit spat static as the tuner sought to bring in an erratic carrier wave. Toshio had a wild desire to run over and kick the thing into the bottomless murk of the drill tree shaft. Suddenly, a crackling, noise-shrouded whistle broke out.
If, crackle, midshipmen stuck together, who could stop us? And of midshipmen, who can fly like Calathians?
Aki!
Toshio hurried over to kneel in front of the comm.
Right again, diving partner.